Now, many people, especially younger generations, have turned to secondhand shopping and thrifting as a way to build a closet full of items that are both unique and environmentally friendly. More people are buying clothing in bulk to resell online in places like Depop or share their thrift haul on YouTube or TikTok. But like any trend, it comes with some criticism. We've seen some thrift fans saying that the people who rely on inexpensive secondhand clothes are being priced out of the market at their local thrift store. Adam Minter is a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion and author of the book Secondhand: Travels in the New Global Garage Sale. Adam, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Adam, we saw a couple pieces on this here. There's a debate among the thrifting community. It looks like this worry that, hey, people are buying up too much stuff at their local thrift store and the people who really need the stuff aren't able to afford it anymore. What are you seeing?
Well, I think the operative fact, the most important fact to know about thrift stores in North America and in Europe is that they have more stuff than they can sell. And I'd ask you and your listeners to step back and just ask themselves if they've ever gone to a thrift store that's run out of inventory. And the answer is no, they haven't, because there is a tsunami of clothing, not just clothing, you know, electronics, furniture, all the stuff that we have in our homes coming through. And these thrift stores struggle to sell all this stuff. And when they can't sell it, they have to find other places to go with it. Sometimes it's outlet stores where they sell it by the pound. Sometimes it's export markets. But in the end, some of that stuff ends up being shredded. Some of it ends up being landfilled. And so any amount of people going in to buy this stuff is good. And the more who buy it, the better, because it lowers the cost for these thrift stores and allows them to keep operating.
And you talked about this a little bit on Twitter. The main point of these thrift stores isn't necessarily to provide cheap stuff to people in need. What happens when they make money?
Right. The point of, you know, most of your big thrift chains, and I'm talking about Goodwill, Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, isn't to provide clothes to poor people. They certainly accept the donations, but ultimately they are nonprofits that are devoted to good work. So in the case of Goodwill, for a century, their main goal has been to provide job training to people, to get people into the workforce. And so they have extensive job training programs, and they're actually responsible for a shockingly high percentage of the people who are employed in the United States. The clothes, the clothing, the shoes, the computers, all the stuff they sell goes into paying for those programs. And so that's what these organizations are about. And they're very good at marketing their goods to do that. But, you know, despite, you know, sort of the reputation as being places for poor people to get clothes, that's not how these organizations have viewed themselves. And it's really not correct for people outside of them to view them that way as well.
This new trend out there, it looks like, is we've got some young, oftentimes entrepreneurs going to thrift stores, finding some good stuff, taking photos, putting it online, selling it, you know, making some money along the way. I don't know. What do you think? Is this good news that the stuff is getting where it's needed, or is it profiteering?
Right.
What's going on?
Well, let me say two things about that. First, I mean, anytime you have people reusing clothing, it's a good thing, because most of the clothing in North America does not end up being reused. Oop, did I lose you?
Nope, I still hear you.
Oh, okay. Second, you know, the deboppers, the people are selling on Poshmark, they're not doing anything new. And in fact, they're fairly small time. The biggest resellers working thrift stores in North America are actually immigrant communities, especially along the U.S.-Mexico border. Goodwill's, Salvation Army's, St. Vincent de Paul's in San Diego, Los Angeles, Texas, Phoenix, in as far up as Albuquerque. Their biggest customers are folks coming up from Mexico and South America, buying truckloads of stuff in these resale shops, these thrift shops, and bringing them back to Mexico and bringing them back to South America and reselling them there. In fact, it's fair to say that the thrift industry in the southwestern part of the United States wouldn't exist without this massive reselling operation. So when people talk about, you know, kids from the suburbs coming in and driving up the prices and taking away apparel from folks who can't otherwise afford it. You know, it's they're small timers, they're small fish compared to what's going on and people supplying into emerging markets. And it's not just Mexico. If you go up to Minneapolis, the Somali community buys enormous amounts of clothes out of the thrifts and sends them to Somalia. If you go out to the East Coast, you see Ghanaian and other West African communities doing the same thing. You know, they don't come in for criticism, nor should they. In fact, they're beloved by the thrifts for the simple reason that they help take the stuff out of the stores. And the kids coming in from the suburbs, the fashionistas, if you will, they're a small part of this, but they're benefiting this overall economy, allowing it to continue running.
Talking to Adam Minter, he's the author of the book Secondhand. We're looking at resale in the thrift clothing market. And Adam, in your book, you write, and we've talked about this on the show before, no matter how much reselling is going on, the big problem as you see it is that so much clothing ends up going to waste. At best, it might get turned into rags somewhere down the line. What can we do, I don't know, maybe on the supply side to have less waste?
Well, I mean, you know, the simple solution, of course, is, you know, is just to buy less stuff. But I always advise people to buy better. And by that, I mean, you know, if you're somebody who shops at Goodwill, if you're somebody who shops at Salvation Army, you're looking for that durable product. Well, everybody sooner or later is going to buy something new. And the way that I buy is I'm always buying new, if I buy new, with a second owner in mind. You know, maybe it's something that I donate. Maybe it's something I sell on Poshmark. Maybe it's something that I hand off to a relative. But again, you buy that better quality, more durable good. And I think we all know, you know, that can be more expensive and it can be harder. There's lots of fast fashion out there that, disintegrates after a few washes. You know, I'd say if your concern is about clothing oversupply, don't buy that garment. You know, look to buy something that's more durable and that's going to continue to be reused. And that over time can help bend that curve downward.
As we wrap up, Adam, are you seeing a hunger for that in people, a trend toward people wanting to pay a little more now for something they know is going to last more than, you know, three or four cycles in the washing machine?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a genuine consumer trend. Right now, it's at the upper end of sort of the apparel market, but you do see it in outdoor brands, in particular brands like Patagonia. I hate to mention brands, but that's one of them that's doing it. And as that hunger for the more durable good and as that hunger to buy and sell into secondary markets grows, you see more response from these consumer brands saying, we can make a better product and supply it to consumers. So there is good news on the horizon.
Actually, before I let you go, Adam, for real this time, let's bring in a caller. Marshall is with us in Madison. Marshall, hi. Marshall? Well, Marshall reports seeing the local Goodwill selling $4 to $5 pants. Now he says even discounted ones are $15. Something's going on with prices. We lost him on the line. But Adam, I don't know. Is there something to that? Will people see their prices going up locally?
It depends. You know, every Goodwill operates independently, but certainly their goal is to maximize the value that they get out of the donations they receive. They feel they owe it to their donors and they owe it to the mission that they have, which is, in the case of Goodwill, to provide funding for their job training programs. And clearly that's something that is needed more than ever. You know, it's worth recalling, though, that Goodwill does compete with other retailers. I mean, if you go and talk to the management, the business management side of Goodwill, they will tell you they're not competing, you know, with other used clothing retailers. They're competing with low-cost new clothing retailers, places like Walmart. And so they are not trying to push their prices up. But if you go into a Walmart, you will see clothing that's competitive priced with the Goodwill. So Goodwill's price pressure is actually to go down and beat the Walmarts and the other discount retailers around. So it's really a very complicated story.
Adam, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you so much.
Adam Minter is a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion and author of the book Secondhand Travels in the New Global Garage Sale. He joined us to talk about the rise in thrift shopping and reselling.